Let's go to Jeremiah 10:10.
But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the eternal King. When he is angry, the earth trembles. The nations cannot endure his wrath. The Lord is the true God there. Okay, and let's go to John 17, verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Amen. God is the true God. 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 John 17:3, where we just read, says, in fact, he is the only true God. Because he is true, and true means unchanging, immutable, his will does not change. Hebrews 6:17, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose. So his purpose, his will does not change because he is unchanging, which means he's true. And because there is no deceit in him, it is impossible for God to lie. Is this what you believe? That it's impossible for God to lie? Amen? So 6:18 in Hebrews continues, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. So first, his will does not change and is impossible for God to lie. And then the passage continues, and therefore, he is the anchor of our soul. The anchor, meaning he is the hope of our souls. We can trust him as a result of that. So faith means to believe in this true God, the only true God, because he alone is true. His words are also true. 2 Samuel 7:28 says, so say amen if you believe God is true. And if you believe that, you have to also believe that his words are true. Amen? Yeah, so they have to go together. The true God only speaks true words. So faith life, the life according to this faith, means to first, because we have the hope of entering heaven, which is the true heaven. What kind of heaven? What's the theme of today? True, yes, there you go. So the enter the true heaven after death. Hebrews 9:24 talks about the Lord, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, entering the true heaven, the true tabernacle outside of the universe. That is our hope, to enter that true heaven after death. So in order for that to happen, my life every day as a Christian, having this faith, is to only listen to the truth. And not only just listen to it, but speak the truth, do it according to the truth while I'm alive. Romans 9:1 says, I speak the truth, I'm not lying. So as Christians, we must only listen to the truth and speak the truth and trust his promises until the end. Until the end. Because he is true, his words are true, he fulfills all his promises. How many of you believe that? Man's life is really determined by whose words they listen to. So if they listen to good guy or good guys, they take the path that is good for them. So their life can be good, as in righteous and upright. And the result would also be blessing, good. On the other hand, if one listens to the teachings and the leading and the schemes of a wicked one or evil one, like a thief, like a con man, or a liar, then their life will also follow the direction and the result of such a wicked man. So the difference between truth and lies, more and more as time goes by, is it seems like it's harder to distinguish. But there is something called time that reveals the truth. Time will tell. People always say that, right? Time will tell. There's a saying, expression that goes, all that glitters is not gold. Right? So when you want to buy a gold ring, all that glitters is not gold. Right? All that glitters is not gold. So you got to figure out if it's a real thing, a pure gold, and test it and compare it and have all that information. Which means not everything that looks good, that looks precious, that looks true, turns out to be so. Only time will tell. So time is a very important factor. When one is true, when one thing or a person is true, a moment, if it stops being true a year later, then it's no longer true. So only in hindsight one can be proven, attested, right, through tests that they are true or not. So in this world, there is something called credit history or credit score, which I talk a lot about in terms of understanding the importance of keeping promises, right? So taking out loans and mortgages, credit cards, yeah, you definitely need to show that you have a good credit score. But not only that, for job, employment, credit score is very important. Even school applications, they look at credit scores. Even more nowadays, dating apps. Dating websites. They look at your credit score. Yeah, I guess that makes sense, right? I mean, if the guy said, "Trust me," someone told me, like, as a police officer, you go to crime scene and the guy goes has a blood on his hand. Is that what you said, Joe? And goes, "It wasn't me." They always go, "It wasn't me." They have this way of like lying, like pathologically. It's always like, "It's not me." But you have blood on your hands, dude. It's like blood is dripping. Yes, it wasn't me. So people can say, like, it's not me. I'm good. I'm clean. But let's see show me the money. Let's see the score. So credit score or credit history tends to tell a lot of about the integrity of the person. Along with that, there's something called perjury. Perjury is the intentional act of swearing a false oath or falsifying an affirmation to tell the truth. So they are lying under oath or they're fabricating something that is not true, and it is considered a serious offense, even leading to imprisonment in the world. So telling the truth is very, very important, and everyone is told to tell the truth since young. So parents who may be very lenient and very kind other times, even tolerate when a kid is, having accidents and they're knocking things over. But when they're found to be lying, then there's no mercy. Right? So this is like when a parent has a value and saying integrity is what I want you to have, and therefore they can let them, off the hook for other things. But when they're caught lying, they will get punished severely. So from childhood, we are told to tell the truth and only the truth. Yet in reality, the world itself is very deceiving and is deceived. Politicians, as I said, are defined, not my words, but defined as professional liars. They're professional liars. Again, it's not just like, oh, those are bad guys. But no. Seriously, I heard a linguist, I think psychologist, define politician. What's the definition of politician? A professional liar. Because even if they might have started off right and they make a lot of promises, but if they don't keep their promises, in the end, they're defined as or labeled as liars. But still, people want to believe their lies. Yeah, because they want to, and their ears are itching to hear whatever they want to hear, the words that are sweet to them. So they want to trust them. Businesses, I think you might have heard in the news, like startups, they need investors, and they have great, brilliant idea that's not real yet. They don't have anything yet, but they have to sell it. So they have to exaggerate the product, the service that this business idea is going to offer, and it's going to be great. And trusting in their proposal and their presentation, investors pour their money into that project, that product, or the service, the company. But in the end, at many times, they're found to be false. They're lying, and they're not true. So from a startup in Silicon Valley to anybody off the street, we're like, man, I'm losing money. I'm giving you all this discount. I'm losing money. All right, I'll let you have that for that price. Are they losing money? No. If they're losing money, they're not in business. So if they're losing money, they're lying, definitely, for sure. So advertisement is one, right? So back in the day, advertisements were so bad that the six abs or a dozen abs with a guy, someone else's face cut and put on, it is so obvious that it's so fake. But then when you want to lose weight, you got to go buy the Dexatrim, whatever, a bottle of Dexatrim, and say, look at me. So it's like, ooh, sounds good. I'm going to buy into that. So infomercial and all of that. So these are like almost comical that they look so terribly done. But nowadays, thanks to the computer programs and super fast computer artificial intelligence, AI, you have really challenging products, as in can't tell whether it's fake or not. So fake news is something that you're hearing a lot nowadays. You heard it from the previous president especially, but it actually is not from there nowadays or even 4 years ago or 3 years ago. But fake news has been around since the time of, I don't know, even Mark Anthony and Cleopatra, like thousands of years ago. Seriously, they were spreading false information, right? So that's fake news. Till I remember when I used to go to supermarket and shop, right? There's always National Enquirer, the magazine says, Elvis is alive. You guys even know who Elvis? Never mind. Okay, so Elvis is alive. You're like, and you know it's fake, but it's just like head turner. It's like, oh, you kind of want to know, like, he's alive? Is he alive? So it's like really outright wrong information to bring fast forward to today. So there's like a misinformation and disinformation and malinformation. Depends on whether it's harmful or not. So disinformation is false information that's actually harmful. Right now with what's going on in Ukraine with Russian invasion, the Russian government passed a law prohibiting quote-unquote fake news regarding the Russian military. So anybody using the word invasion or war to describe what's going on in Ukraine is labeled to be spreading false information, and they are at risk of up to 15 years of imprisonment. So that's the consequence of like what's called fake news. And then you have a program or technology called deep fakes. And I think a couple of days ago, they had something called, they're referring to a Zelensky deep fake. So they, someone out there made a program to use the president of Ukraine, Zelensky's face and facial gestures and use AI to create fake video saying he's surrendering. So it went viral and then they caught it because deepfakes are this super sophisticated program where the computer actually learns. So it's machine learning, right? So machines learning how we read facial information. And so it feeds a lot of pictures of the real person and then compared to the fake. Or they create fake. So there are a lot of fake videos out there saying that they're real, so people can actually read them going, oh, he surrenders, so the Ukrainians can surrender, so that's the impact, right? So now the FBI and all the companies that are working with the government offices, is they're actually creating programs that catch the programs that create these fake videos. It's just like machine against machine. Do you feel like you're living in the Matrix? That's what I feel like. So we are now, talking about metaverse. You've heard that, right? Metaverse, that was at the beginning of the year. Facebook, parent company, is named Meta. It's rebranded itself as Meta. And the metaverse is referring to a network of 3D virtual worlds. So it is using augmented reality, virtual reality, and parts of the social media to create this artificial reality. So you're interacting. It's for social connection. So you're actually meeting with people, having business meetings. Maybe some of you have already done this. So instead of just Zoom, which is 2D, you can have 3D interaction with your boss. Like you miss interacting with your coworkers at the water cooler, catching up on the games, talking about all that. You could do that with your whatever thing that you put on and be in the metaverse and meet them and meet strangers and so on. So this is the reality 2022 that you really cannot tell what is real and what is not. Because when you watch one of these deep fakes, apparently there's one, TikTok, I don't even watch TikTok, but in TikTok there's deep Tom Cruise where there's a man who looks like Tom Cruise, sounds like Tom Cruise, but he hired a company to do deepfakes of Tom Cruise. So he's actually the young Tom Cruise does not look like that now, but the young Tom Cruise doing all kinds of stuff. He's in your office, he's in the bus, he's doing all kinds, and he has a huge following. And he's actually hiring a company out there who's like just spitting out all these fake images, but you can't tell it's fake. It looks real, so real, you really cannot tell. And they're saying that very soon, because the machines are learning so fast, with a click of on your phone, with a click on your phone, your smartphone, you will be able to create deepfakes so quickly. Then what world do we live in? So it is very, very challenging for people who are living now, and especially our young people growing up, our children growing up. They are really going to have a hard time telling what is true and what is not. You know, Because people want to hear what is sweet to their ears, they will keep on following what they want to hear. So it's like being in an echo chamber. You constantly hear what you want to hear, and you're in your own channel, you're on your network, and you don't hear what's outside, and that's the only truth. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible tells us that God alone is true, as we read. Amen. God alone is true. Say it with me. God alone is true. And compared to him, all men are liars. Thank you. Somebody's very truthful. Yes, all men are liars. Now, let's talk about the true God first. MF in Hebrew and aletheis in Greek means unconcealed. So true, the true God means unconcealed, worthy of credit, truth, and fact. So true means as accords with fact, reality, or attested because tested. So after being tested, he is proven, he is confirmed to be true. So in time, it will show that he is authentic. So what the Bible shows us is that God alone is authentic. In other words, God alone is genuine. God alone is real. Because he is real yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging and the only one who is unchanging. So he is exactly as he reveals himself to be. Therefore, God can never be a fake. God can never be an imitation. Imitation? I mean, you like imitation? Yeah, imitation? Imitation leather? Imitation this and imitation that? God can never be. Compare that or contrast that to idols. Idols are man-made, born out of human imagination. Humans have this imagination of what a God or transcendent or supreme being may be like. And they carve out images and they bow down before that or asking it to bless them in turn. But these are all fakes, imitations, and inventions originating from men who are liars. Psalm 116:11 says, everyone is a liar. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every human being a liar. A liar? A liar? What on fire? Yeah, pants on fire. So Jeremiah 10:10, as we said, the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the everlasting King. John 17:3, we read, the only true God. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, he's the living and true God. Titus 1:2 says, God who does not lie. Revelation 6:10, sovereign Lord, holy and true. Can we trust him? Amen. So the fact that the Bible describes him to be not just true, but only, or he is living. What does that mean? That he is in contrast to the lifeless idols, the changing men. So in contrast to them, he alone is true. Now, why is it that that we struggle, however, to discern the two? It's because of Satan. Let's go to Isaiah 14 together and look at the passage and find out who this guy is. 14:12. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Now, the person who's saying I here is actually referring to a creature, an angel, in fact, an archangel, even further. And his name was Luciel. He was created to worship God in the spiritual heaven that we call the true heaven. Right? So the spiritual heaven meaning outside the universe, because the universe is also referred to as a heaven, a material heaven. So the sky is another level of heaven, right? But the true heaven is a spiritual heaven. So it is there God placed the angels that he made, and one of them was this angel who was made beautifully, and Ezekiel 28 also describes. But because of that, he deceived himself, because it says, you said in your heart, remember, the Bible says the heart is deceitful. And he said in his heart, and he said, I will be like the Most High. I will be like God. I will raise myself above the stars of God. So I will be like the Creator. I will be like the true God. like the true God, it tells you that you're already fake because you cannot be the true God. There's only one true God. Still, he convinced himself to be like God. And as a result, what happened? Verse 15, but you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. So from the spiritual heaven, he was driven out. And by making the material heaven called the universe, Ho Hades in Greek, or Sheol in Hebrew, he was thrown down and contained here until the great day of judgment. Jude 1:6 says that. So it's in this space where all things are made, including humans. And our ancestor, Adam, was made in the same space. So this is where we live today because this is where God made man. Now, God made man in the dust, with the dust to make the flesh. But by breathing into him, God made him a living being, Adam. So the living being is the ancestor of all mankind. And he was given the word to not eat from one tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's go to Genesis 2:7 and 2:17. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. So this is indicating how man is made. Two parts, the flesh and the spirit. Two beings. How many beings? Beings means something that lives or dies, lives and dies. So the flesh lives and dies, and we know that. But there's a spirit that's also from God, that is from God, therefore lives when it lives by his provision, his life, his word, but can also die when it doesn't eat the word. So let's go to 2:17. What's the word? You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will? When you eat of it, you will? To whom did God speak? The flesh or the spirit? The spirit. And God is saying, yes, the spirit can die. If you don't listen to me, if you don't eat my word, obey my word, that is, then you will die. To the spirit, God warned. But he was deceived by the serpent through the woman. In the next chapter, we see in the garden there. And that serpent is described as the fallen angels. Hebrews 12:7 on describes. So Satan is the fallen angel. Luciel, who becomes Lucifer, he is Satan. Say it with me, Satan. Who is he? He is the archangel and becomes a fallen angel, right? Because he's cast out from the spiritual heaven. And once man is made and he comes between God and man, between God's word and man, and speaks to him lies and said, you will not surely die. Even if you eat the fruit, you will not surely die. He said in Genesis 3:4 on, he says, but instead you will be like God. And those words were what to the ears of the woman and later the man? Sweet. I mean, it doesn't say that, but that's why they ate. Because it sounds good. Oh, yeah? I'm not going to die? I could be like God? Hey, bring it on. I'm going to have it. Instead of becoming like God, of course, sin entered. That's the definition of sin. Disobeying the word of God, and death came. Because they become cut off from God, and all speaking of the spiritual reality. And the devil is then referred to. He's called the devil. Satan is now called the devil, because he does the work of separating man from God. And he becomes the father of lies. John 8:44, Jesus himself. Your father is a liar. And he's not talking about our biological father, but the devil who spoke to our ancestor right here in the Garden of Eden. And describing this in Isaiah 28:15, it says, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have an agreement, and we have made lies our refuge, and in falsehood we have taken shelter. So that becomes a reality and the result of sin from that moment on for all mankind, even though nobody knew. In the eyes of God, however, this is a reality for all men, having made covenant with death and then making lies their refuge, taking shelter in falsehood. This is why, even to this day, humans have such hard time telling what is discerned, what is true and what is not, what is false and what is true. So from the Bible, what we find, again, Ecclesiastes 7:25, it says, the wickedness of folly and foolishness that is madness. Proverbs 14:16 says, a fool rages and is self-confident. A fool is a fool because he's self-confident. In other words, he's proud. He's arrogant. Why is a fool a fool? Because he's proud. Yeah, because he's proud. And being proud is because he's deceived. Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Summarize. Folly, which means foolishness, folly is out of pride. It's because of pride. And pride, because one is deceived. And because one is deceived, he is deceiving. And in the eyes of God, this is all wicked, evil. In fact, madness. Crazy. So folly, pride, deceiving, deceived, being wicked, and being mad. So that's how the Bible sees humanity. Since the time of the original sin, due to the origin of sin, that is Satan. But we read the history of the Bible from the Old Testament as God reveals himself as the true God, the only true God, by showing his credit score. God has a credit score? Yes, God has credit score. What do you think his credit score is? What is God's credit score? Doesn't matter. You don't have to have it in number. It's perfect. Amen? Yes. Don't take my word for it. You got to read the Bible. So God called on one name named Noah, and he told them in Genesis 7 that for 7 days from now on, I will send rain on earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I'll wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. Because the world was filled with wickedness, God decided to destroy it by a great flood, a deluge. God told Noah his schedule. And then soon, when Noah and the animals and his family went in, and they shut the door, and they waited inside for 7 days. And after that, the floodwaters came on the earth and wiped out everything from the face of the earth, to prove that God is true, that his word is true. According to God's promise that he made to Abraham, when the time came, as it said in Genesis 18:10, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. It doesn't matter how old you are, because I'm promising I'm going to keep it. How old were they, in fact, when they had the baby? Abraham was? Only. Solamente. Solamente. Tiene 10 años, yes, only 100 years, yes. Sarah, his wife, 90. I know, it's impossible, right? But in Romans 4:18, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. He said, amen, and he went to work. And then a year later, what did they have? A baby. So when they held the baby in their arms, they were laughing. They couldn't stop laughing because God's word came true. God is true. His word is true. The baby was then named what? Isaac. Laughter. And it was to his nephew Lot that God had warned through the angels that the city that he had lived in, Sodom, and the neighboring city, Gomorrah, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, will be destroyed by brimstone, burning sulfur the next morning. Even though nobody else believed, even his sons-in-law thought this was a joke. In fact, after Lot and his daughters fully escaped the area, the whole city, or the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, were burned down, destroyed by the burning sulfur, to prove that God's word is true. And as God made covenant with Abraham about having many descendants come from him, that 400 years later on, this is in Genesis 15, that God has said, many offspring will come. For 400 years, they will be in a stranger's land. But I will bring them out of that land and bring them to the land that I give to you. So that happened in Exodus 12:41. It says, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. So even though none of the offspring had, descendants had remembered and counted the days, God remembered. God remembered his prophecy and his promise to Abraham, their ancestor, from hundreds of years ago, what he was going to do. And when it came to that time, by having them put the blood of Passover lamb, the Passover night, where every firstborn was struck dead, those who had blood in them, the spirit of death, did what? Pass over. So those who had the blood lived. And these were the Hebrews, once slaves. But now they were being delivered, so they left their slavery for 430 years. That very day, God fulfilled his prophecy, his promise. How many of you believe that? Even if you say, no, I'm not sure, there's a whole lot of people living today, existing to this day. The children of Abraham, the Jewish people, who believe that. The fact that they exist is a testament to God's being true, his word being true. Amen? Yeah. So when they were brought into the desert, where the desert or the wilderness is not a place where one can survive easily, they did not become extinct. They were not destroyed because God's promise was true, which was that he will protect them. He will feed them. Daily God sent bread called manna. Manna stands as a sign that God's promise is fulfilled. His promise is fulfilled for 40 years. So Exodus 16:35, so the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. So after they left the desert, the manna didn't continue to come. You realize that, right? When they left the desert, like they didn't go out there. Let's go on a trip. To the wilderness and see if there's still manna. There's no manna because when the last Israelite left the desert, it stopped because that was God's promise. So when they were commanded to build the sanctuary, God also had them take the sample of manna and put it in a vase and put it in the ark. The ark was referred to as the Ark of the Covenant Law because it also had the tablets of the Ten Commandments. So the Ten Commandments were the reminder for the people of Israel to not be deceived. To not be what? To not be? Check your neighbor if they're okay. Do not be deceived. Yeah, do not be deceived that falling asleep is going to somehow get you somewhere. No, do not be deceived. Yes. So the Ten Commandments starts with you will have no other God. You will serve no other God but the Lord God. So don't think that you could serve other gods and you'll be okay. And then second commandment being what? Do not make an idol. Do not bow down to an idol. So do not bow down to an idol that you just made yourself or someone else made it out of their own imagination and bowing down to thinking it's going to bless you. How foolish is that? You know the guy who was chiseling it and burning it and baking it and put it on your table, wiped it, and then you suddenly bow down. It's going to bless me. That's foolish. That's being deceived. That's wicked. So all the way down to do not lie. So the Ten Commandments are a sample of the commandments that God gave. Exodus 20:16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Leviticus 19:10, do not lie. Do not deceive one another. So the law treated lying as grave, grave sin. But the sanctuary was in their midst to remind them about this law and the fact that it had the name of the Lord, Jehovah, which is the name of the true God. So I say Jehovah and you're going to say the true God, his name to them was Jehovah. But in time, what happened to the people? Initially, they obey. Initially, they were faithful. But in time, all that glitters is not gold. So in the beginning, they were all obedient and glittering. But then in time, what happened? The people became to be known as rebellious children, as God called them in Isaiah 30, verses 9 to 10. For these are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers are prophets. So they say to them, see no more vision, please. Don't see visions from Jehovah. That's what they were saying. And they said to the prophets, give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Oh my Lord. They were saying, don't tell us what is right. Tell us what is wrong. But if it sounds good, keep telling. Keep seeing that. That's how God saw them doing. And that's exactly what they were doing. They had become rebellious, deceitful people, refusing the true words coming from God to true prophets. Even the priests were cheating God. Malachi 1:14 and on we read about they cheated God of his tithes and offerings. And then the prophets themselves became false because they were tempted to tell lies and see false visions. So this is what's very tricky about visions. Visions can be given by God, but also by deceiving spirits. So some visions can be true, but many more can be false. Because they can have a deceitful desire. According to those desires, God let them have them. Yeah. So what happened to the people of Israel? They were led to ruins, destruction. But because the temple was still there, reminding them of the true commandments from the true God, Jehovah, they found comfort and they did not lose their hope. So when a man in their eyes, standing before the temple of Jerusalem, said, "Destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days." What did they go like? "True that. Amen. Truly. Yep. You're right." Is that what they said? "You are a liar. A liar, liar, pants of fire. That's the worst lie we've ever heard. And you need to die for that. How dare you?" Remember the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, they didn't have problem with what Yeshua, the Savior, that's his name, with his signs, they didn't have problem. Because through his signs, he was healing and multiplying food and doing all these amazing things. And Jews were believers of signs. But they had problems with what he had said. And they consider what he had said to be blasphemous, including, namely, this one, saying, "Destroy this temple," which is about the true God, who does not tolerate any liars, any deceivers, any deceived. And on top of that, he's saying, "I'm going to build it in how many days? How many days? Can a building go up in 3 days? Not even today." So, of course, this was unacceptable to them. But what was Yeshua referring to? The temple of his body. Say it with me. His body, he's saying, is going to die. But in 3 days, what's going to happen? He's going to resurrect. So he's going to prophesy. He's prophesying about his death and his resurrection. After which, you will know that I am telling the truth, that my words are true, that I am the truth. But at the time, nobody believed. But Yeshua was referring to this temple that was standing in their midst that represented Jehovah, who spoke to them physically through the prophets and that they heard physically through their ears. And it was in the name Jehovah only to the people of Israel. So Yeshua was saying, this era is over. This age is over. Now, through my death and my resurrection, I'm going to build a new temple, a true temple that is referring to my body. And I'm going to speak to you the words of truth, the true words. And these words will not let you live another year or more years in your physical body on earth. But the words I speak to you will be the true food for your soul, so that your soul will live forever. Ever. Hallelujah. That's why we have to go to John 6. John 6, 32. Now, this is when Yeshua had performed the miracle or the sign of multiplying the bread and the fish to feed thousands of people. And they wanted more of it. So they were looking for Yeshua and they were following him. And here he is talking about bread, food. 6:32. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven, gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes me will never be thirsty." So again, this is in the context where they were following him, wanting more of that bread and fish that he had multiplied. So looking for the physical bread and fish, just physical food. And here he is talking about, you believe that your ancestors in the time of Moses ate manna in the desert for how many years? 40 years. How did they live? Because they ate the bread that came from heaven. But that bread that came from heaven, was it spiritual bread or physical bread? Not sure? Some of you are going, That's why he said, they ate the bread, and then what happened to them? Did they live on and on and on forever and ever? They ate the bread, and then they died. They lived that day, they lived years, but then they died. That bread did not give them eternal life, the spiritual life. So this bread was given, yes, by God, in the name Jehovah, to your ancestor, people of Israel. But here I am as the bread from heaven. I am the true food for who you truly are. Who are you? Who are we? Who am I? Besides the flesh, I am also spirit. But comparing or contrasting the two, the flesh and the spirit, the flesh only lives a finite time and then it's gone. So it's not true. It's not true. It is something that will pass away. But the spirit that I am will always be, forever. Do you believe that? How many of you believe that? That you are a soul. Then you will always be a soul forever. Amen? For that eternal, eternal, infinite being that you are, the food that you need to eat and be interested about and long for and be desperate for, be hungry for, is the bread that comes from heaven, that is a spiritual bread, that is Yeshua. Amen. Let's continue reading. Jump to 53 to 58. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Hallelujah. So he is saying, I'm going to give you true drink, my blood. And if you drink this blood, your spirit will come alive. Why doesn't it to come alive? Because it was dead. Why? Because of? Very good. Because of sin? Since the time of who? Adam. So when I receive the blood, so Jesus is talking about time later. Yeshua is talking about time later after his death, where he would pour out his blood and that blood would be received. And when the blood is received by the spirit that was once dead is now alive, then it can eat food. Dead man does not need food. Yes? Dead spirit cannot eat food. Only when it's alive. So drink that life drink, spirit drink, and then you will eat the true bread, that is the word, the flesh of Yeshua. Hallelujah. So he's saying, believe me, I am the true bread of soul. But they did not believe him, even though he was testified by the prophet, the last prophet, John the Baptist, who had said in Matthew 3:11, "But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry." He even baptized Yeshua. He saw him through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist recognized Yeshua as the Messiah who was prophesied to come. And then people believe, Mark 11:32, everyone held that John really was a prophet. So most people were in agreement that John was a real prophet. Now, if you believe that he was a real prophet, his testimony is real, true. So if he said the one who's coming after me, referring to Yeshua as the Messiah, then you would also believe those words to accept me, believe me as who I am. After he was baptized, he fasted for 40 days. Yeshua was led into the desert where he fasted. And after that, he met the tempter who tempted him. And he tried 3 times. But 3 times, he failed. What happened? Because Yeshua had great power? Because it was by the word of the true God written in the scriptures. Hallelujah! Because he is the true God who was with God in the beginning. Let's go to John 1:1. Yes, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So the Word was with God in the beginning. The beginning there is in eternity. In eternity, not the time when all things were made, but before that. So when there was no time. when there was no creature, no man, no angels, no spiritual, nothing, God decided to reveal himself. God decided to be known as the true God. What kind of God? The only true God. So he is the word here. So he decided to reveal himself, and that would be through the word as the word, logos. And that the word who became then flesh. Go to verse 14. The word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and full of what? Full of grace and truth. And verse 17 says, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So he is a true God from the beginning who became flesh. I ask you, who is Yeshua? And you're going to give me that answer. He is the true God from the beginning who became flesh. So that means he cannot be deceived. Cannot. It's impossible. Cannot be deceived and cannot deceive. Cannot. It's impossible for him because he's the true God. Do you believe that? It's not that he's like trying hard like us. It's like, oh, I didn't mean to. Oh, I just lied. Oh, sorry. That's us. But for Yeshua, he can. It's impossible for him to lie. So when the tempter came and said, turn these stones to bread, or see if God will catch you, jump from the high place, or bow down to me, I'll give you. He was not tempted a bit. Because he cannot be deceived, will not be deceived, and he cannot deceive, therefore does not deceive. For he is not foolish, because he is not proud, he is not wicked. He is the true God. Say amen if you believe that. He never lies. He never changes. His will never changes. It is man, on the other hand. They are men who continue, men like us, who continue to change. Therefore, we're not true. But he is the one who was sent by the true God. As we read, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So Jesus Christ, Yeshua, was sent by the true God, the Father. And on top of that, very importantly, he said, John 14, 24, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So whose word did Yeshua speak? Whose words did he speak? The Father. Who sent him? The Father. And who is the Father? He is the true God. The true God speaks what kind of words? True. True words. He speaks the truth. So if the Son who was sent by the Father spoke the true Father's true words, the words of Yeshua are true or false? True. Hallelujah. Do you understand? When you read through these passages, I do recommend, I'm putting in a summary, I want you to go look at them and read through John again. It's like, it's repeated message, how he was trying to say, I was sent by the true God and I speak only his words, and therefore my words are true. Although in the ears of those who were deceived, they could not believe. John 10:30, when Yeshua said, I and the Father are one, they went, and they picked up stones to kill him, but that was not the time for him to die, so he escaped them. But to the Jews who have been steeped into this notion, there's only one true God, the only true God, Jehovah, this was unacceptable. This could not be tolerated. So when he spoke about his death and his suffering, his death, his resurrection, his return, the disciples, though they were following him, when the Jews and the leaders came to arrest him, they could not continue believing him. If they did believe his word, they would have stayed with him to the end. But this was before the Holy Spirit coming. Their faith was not sealed, so they all ran away. All left him. Meaning nobody believed him. In the end, all left him. But as he died, what did he declare? The last statement as he breathed his last, he said, It is. All done, all finished, all completed. Because it was then when he was fulfilling all the prophecies and all the covenants made by God through the history of the Bible, the scriptures, which is the Old Testament. All the prophecies about his coming and his life, his suffering, his death, were now going to come to an end as he is fulfilling. Furthermore, 1 Corinthians 15:45 indicates Yeshua as the last Adam. What kind of Adam? So the entire mankind is Adam. We are one in Adam, the first Adam. But Yeshua came as the last Adam because he is the God who came as man, the spirit who came, who became man, who became flesh, and that he was going to die. He was going to die on the cross, and to be able to do that, he came in the flesh, and that he would take on the sin of the world that would kill his body, that would put end to his spirit body. So as the last Adam, he died, and it was to fulfill the word of God that said to the first Adam regarding the fruit. If you eat of it, you will. If you eat of it, what did the first Adam do? He disobeyed. He disobeyed. But here's the last Adam eating that word and saying, Amen, Father, you alone are the true God. Your word is always and forever true. And said, Amen, by laying down his life willingly, he fulfilled the word of God that said, you will die. So the first Adam ate the fruit, disobeyed the word, but the last Adam ate the word, obeyed the word to death. Hallelujah. That was the moment he was testifying that the Father's word is true no matter what. Amen? No matter what. No matter what? Even to the point of letting his son suffer and die like a sinner. Even to the point of the son who is God, the holy and pure, the righteous one who hates sin, had to become sin to die. Why? Why? It was to testify that the Father's word is true. Now then you can step back and go back. But why was the tree there then? Why didn't we, like, if the tree weren't there, Jesus didn't have to die like that. Poor Jesus. Because of the stupid tree. Why did God put the stupid tree there? Why was it there? So you would ask the question, right? I mean, the answer is given when? Yeah, logos. But let's go to Job 12, 16. To him belong strength and insight. Both deceived and deceiver are his. Both deceived and deceivers are his, he, in him, he. Who is he here? If you go up, that passage is referring to God. There you go, to God. So to God belongs both the deceived and the deceiver. Uh-oh. Who is the deceiver? The devil. Who are deceived? All men in Adam. So what is it saying? To God belongs both all men as well as the deceiver, the devil. All of them are for his purpose, for his will that is unchanging, and for his own attribute to be revealed. That God is the true God, for his truth to be revealed. The truth about who he is, and that his word is never changing, his will is never changing. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was placed in the garden, and the command was given, knowing that the deceiver will fool himself and fool the man, thinking that he could get away with it, and the man will be fooled by it and eat it. All of that was for the purpose of God that is unchanging, that is to reveal and testify and be glorified as the only true God forever and ever. Do you understand this? Amen if you do. It was at that moment the father of lies was judged once for all. The deceiver was lied and said, you are guilty. You are the liar, 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 pants on fire. Go into the fire forever. Hallelujah. Yes, that was the moment. But by shedding his blood, as he said, my blood is true drink. By tearing his flesh, he poured out his blood. He paid the price of sin for all, and that blood was given so that those who receive his blood, those who call on his name as their Savior and Lord, they will receive the blood, drink his blood, and become true sons of God. What kind of sons? True. Hebrews 12:8. True sons of God. Hallelujah. And their eyes will be open. Ears will be open to hear and see what is true. Hallelujah. So he died. Remember, his death was the son testifying the word of the father is true. But in 3 days, he was raised back to life. Do you believe that Yeshua resurrected from the grave, from the dead? His resurrection is when the Father testified that the word of the Son is true. Because the Son said, the Son of Man will be betrayed. He will be betrayed and put to death. But I will be raised. I will come back. I will be resurrected. So his word was proven to be true through his resurrection. So he was taken up to heaven, the true heaven, where he reigns forever and ever as the true God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit was sent from there in his name, Yeshua, and he's described as the Spirit of Truth, John 14:17, John 15:26, John 16:13, speaking of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. He comes from the true heaven, and he comes to the true sons of God. Say amen if you have received the blood of Yeshua. When did you receive the blood? Oh, I didn't expect you to ask me that question. I'm not ready for that. When I said amen, when I opened my heart and received Yeshua into my life, and I believe in his works, as in he is the sinless God who died in my place. He became sin for me, and that he paid the price of my sin. I receive him as my Lord and my Savior. I cried out the name Yeshua. That's when you receive the blood of Yeshua. Say amen if that is you. You have become a child of God. Amen? A true child of God. Turn to your neighbor. Are you a true child of God? A true son of God? I'm not sure. Yeah, then you have to pray for your neighbor. Yes? So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, comes to such true sons of God to testify the things that have been fulfilled according to the prophecies. Now, Luke chapter 1 starts with the statement where Luke is writing, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. So Luke is not one of the 12, but he actually interviewed those who were firsthand eyewitnesses of the events surrounding the life of Yeshua. So he is writing as a report, like a journalist, to be handed to the Roman Roman leader. So that is actually what the Holy Spirit allows the true sons, like us, like me, Christians, to do. That's to testify the things that have been fulfilled. So basically, that's the gospel. The gospel is what has already been fulfilled. It's about his death and his resurrection. So I'm going to say the gospel, and you're going to say what? His death and his resurrection. His death and his resurrection is the content of the gospel. That's what the Spirit of Truth lets believers testify. But not only that, the Holy Spirit lets us testify the things that will be fulfilled. What will be fulfilled? What's the one prophecy that has not been fulfilled? Hamana, hamana. Just as he said he would die, he died. Just as he said he would be raised back to life, he was raised back to life. And he ascended to heaven. He was lifted up to heaven. But his promise, when I go to the Father's house, I'll prepare a place for you, and then I will come back to take you to be with me. That promise has not been fulfilled. But looking at his credit score, should we trust him? Should we trust him? Amen. So by the Spirit of Truth, we can testify the things that will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Revelation 1:7 says, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. So the Spirit of Truth testifies and warns the true sons of God to not be deceived by Satan, because that spiritual being, that fallen angel, is not downstairs. I said, where is hell? And someone said, downstairs. It's not downstairs. It's here. He's here. The entire world is reserved for fire. The whole universe will become hell. So Satan and his angels, they are here. Yeah, besides what we see, there may be more of those we do not see. Yeah. Believe it. So these evil spirits, you throw in all, like demons, deceiving spirits, evil spirits, the fallen angels, all of that, they're called the synagogue of Satan, which you also learn in Logos. So synagogue of Satan, the organization of Satan, all these evil spirits, what do? They deceive. They were once deceived, and now they continue to deceive. So because Satan is here and his angels are here, we need to be aware as the Christians today that although we were once foolish and deceived, that's who a Christian is. A Christian is someone who confesses. Titus 3:3 says, at one time we were foolish and deceived. But now we are no longer deceived and no longer deceiving. Is this you? Uh-oh, I didn't hear the full house. Ooh. Oh, somebody's pants on fire today. Oh boy, okay. As a Christian, we no longer ought to be deceived and no longer be deceiving. So even though in the past I was foolish and I was living a godless life, I had my back turned against God and the Word of God. But by His grace, I've been called. Now I know what is true and what is not. So I'm no longer deceived and I'm no longer deceiving, and I'm putting every effort for that to be true. Amen. So as a Christian, a man made by the Spirit of truth, I must hate what is deceitful. I must hate what is deceiving. I must neither deceive nor be deceived. Amen? As Christians, we need to then gather, long to gather. I know every week it's about gathering, gathering. But that's what the Word said in Hebrews 10:25. As you see the day approaching, gather all the more. For some reason, you have some resistance, some allergic reaction to gathering. You're deceived. You're deceived. Yeah, I can tell you that directly. You're deceived. But those who long to gather, I love the gathering. I yearn for the gathering in the name Yeshua, starting the week by coming on the Lord's Day to worship Him in spirit and in truth as members of His body in the church, in His temple on earth. I am coming to the church. Why? The church, even though it's made up of fellow humans like myself, this is the only society, if you will, the only organization where the truth is accepted as its language. Amen? Like the language, English is the language for this nation. The truth, true words are the only words accepted. Like Visa, MasterCard, Discover Card accepted, right? Now like Zelle, Vimo, whatever, all these things, other like some other stuff. There's so many other things that are being accepted now. Apple Pay, blah, blah. The only language that's accepted here are true words, the truth, the true words of Yeshua. Hallelujah. That's why we souls who have now become true sons must yearn to gather, come into this house of God as members making up the body of Christ. So when you come in, you ought to expect to hear the words of truth. Amen. You should not expect to hear the wise words of wise men. Even if Confucius might have been a wise man in his time, and even to this day many people read his teaching and talk about it, Confucius, Buddha, whoever it is, or some wise Christian, even theologians. If you look at listen to other sermons, many of them, those who are admired and respected, they talk about theologians. All the theologians said that theologians, that's why you go to theological school for. To learn about who said what. Or even they talk about the words of Moses. Moses said, if you do this, you'll be blessed. If you don't do this, then you'll be cursed. Coming in, you'll be blessed. Going out, you'll be blessed. Your animal will be blessed. Your children will be blessed. Your manservant, maidservant, they'll be all blessed. But if you don't, you're cursing. So when they hear that, people like that. I've met so many people, and I know I'm sure I'll meet more of those in the future too. They go, yeah, I'm just kind of like looking around and, you know, church shopping. Just trying to figure out if this is the right church for me or not. You've heard this? Maybe some of you are here because of this. Everything is like haters. We live in such self-centered generation. It's all about the self. Self-care, self-interest, selfie. Yeah, it's all about self. So even the church, it's like for the self. They want to hear customized word for them. They want to hear words that their ears are itching to hear. So they go, all this church talking about is Jesus, heaven, and hell. It's like this day and age. What are you talking about brimstone fire? Oh my God, do you know what year this is? I know, 2022. And the end is coming soon. I know exactly what it is. It's March 20th in 2022. I know. But they say, this is so impractical. This is so unreal. It's too much. All you say is what Jesus said, Yeshua said, take up your cross and follow me and die, die. Crucify yourself. Do you know what day and age this is? I know. I told you I know what day and age this is. But the only true God is Yeshua, and therefore the only true words, me, the true me, the soul, needs to hear, are the words of Yeshua. What do you say to that? So when you come inside the church, what should you expect to hear? The words that say, believe Yeshua and your life will be all good. Give offerings and God will multiply your income and you'll be a millionaire. Your broken relationship will be mended and you will marry a rich man or rich woman and you'll live a happy life, happily ever after. So-called prosperity gospel. Secular theology. People like that. You don't need to evangelize to churches like that. You have good music and good people, and people will just come and come and come. Pack a place. Yes. Because they're like, this is my kind of church. This is my kind of message. My kind of message? My kind of church? There's only one church. The only one church that we ought to be drawn to and belong to and cling to with all our life is the church that is founded and built on the foundation and the pillars of truth, where the true words of Yeshua are spoken. Only that. Amen. So I need to only listen to the truth. So you have to always ask yourself, number one, who am I? I'm a what? A soul. I'm a soul born again in the blood of Yeshua. I'm a soul, righteous soul, made righteous by the blood of Yeshua. Amen. Therefore, I need to listen to the word that is life to me. Life to me, the soul, the spirit. Even if it's bitter, uncomfortable, uneasy, burdensome for my flesh and my emotion, it doesn't make me feel good. That's why people are quitting jobs, quitting school, quitting this, because it doesn't make them feel good. They want to do whatever makes them feel good. That's the trend. Do you understand where all this is headed? I want to do this. I want to do that. I don't want to do that because it doesn't make, it's all a me. Oh, sounds familiar? Yeah, that's the deceiver who deceived himself, focusing on himself, denying God, denying head, denying the true God. And where's he going? To hell. And he wants to take one more soul with him. One more back, even from this room, right here. So we have to be inspired by the spirit of truth to discern what is true and what is lie, what is false. Amen. So only speaking the truth and not lie. Not lie. The devil speaks lies as his own words. Man of truth speaks the truth as his own words. So if I'm a true son, a true man, a man who is made by the truth of Yeshua, listening to the word of Yeshua, then I must only speak the words of Yeshua. That makes me a person of truth, a man of truth. Do you understand? You're not sure. You're like, oh, Ben, that means I can't go. Like, I'll have black coffee to go. These words are not words of Yeshua. What do I do? Of course you need to speak those words. You do need to speak the words. So you do need to speak words, but what matters? What matters? What matters? The most important words out of your mouth are the words that you listen, that you hear as the truth, that you speak, that you live by. And these are the words of truth, the true words of Yeshua, that as you commit your, certainly for daily bread and survival, yes, we do need to speak, but I need to be spent speaking the words of truth that is about heaven, eternal life that is given to those who believe in the only true God and the Son whom he sent, Yeshua. And speak, if not, you go to hell. We have to talk about heaven and hell. Heaven and hell then, heaven and hell now, heaven and hell until the end. Amen. You're sick? Pray in the name Yeshua. Lay your hand on the sick and drive out demons in the name Yeshua. We still speak that. Yeshua did it. He spoke it. And I listen to it. And I live by it. And I speak it. Not only do I speak it, I do it. I do it. James 1:22 said, do not merely listen to the word, so deceive yourself. Do what it says. So it is not for those who say, Lord, 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 for them that the kingdom of heaven will open, but only those who do his will. Matthew 7 says, only those who do my will, do the will of the Father. So only when I live according to the word, and the word says, do not be like the world, do not love the world, because this world is passing. Everything in it is passing. Fix your eyes on heaven. Eternal life is the purpose of my life. Say with me. Eternal life is the purpose of my life. So chasing after dreams of the world, false dreams of the world. Big lights and bright cities, right? Big lights and bright cities. It's a false dream. So that was an attraction to places like New York City, like Hollywood. Like people would come with their dreams to make some name for themselves. As true sons now who are no longer deceived and no longer deceiving, our dream is no longer false. If we're spent for advancing, thinking about advancing my career or even ministry or making the church bigger and making more and more people come and stay, that could be deceiving. So we have to think about it. Idolatry is false god. We know that. But idolatry is more than bowing down to a golden statue of Buddha. Idolatry can take many forms. Idolatry is when you prefer anything or anyone above the true God. Idolatry is when you love anything or anyone more than the true God, Yeshua. Uh-oh. So any joy or pleasure one has in the world, whether that's career, hobby, entertainment, even family, and the self, can be an idolatry. So we have to ask the question, what is most dear to me? What is most dear to you? What is most dear in your thinking life, in your thought life? What do you think most about? Do you think about giving glory to God, expanding His kingdom, doing His will, and taking care of the souls given to you and seeking the lost? Or are you thinking mostly about yourself, advancing yourself, promoting yourself, taking care of yourself, and what yourself wants to do, what it wants to eat, what it wants to have, what it wants to touch? Then you're still being deceived and deceiving. And what the Bible warns in Revelation 21:8 is all liars, including the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, all liars will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Not only we must not speak lies as Christians. We must not say false things. But we must not chase after false dreams and false promises of the world. It is to be content with daily bread. And whatever you're doing to do that in your job, in your profession, be content with your daily bread and not be greedy, not be worldly. Because the tempter is still here around, lingering to deceive us. Instead, we ought to be determined, resolute, to love to hear the words of truth and only speak the words of truth and live according to the truth only then. When the Lord returns, as He promised, when I come back, I will take you to be with me where I am. You will live with me in that true heaven forever. And then we will know what is real. What is the real thing? Right now, this world is becoming more wicked as days go by. As technologies advance, and yes, even as they're engaging in warfare, it's like now digital warfare, like artificial warfare. It's virtual, and it's all man-made for man's satisfaction, and all the more pulling the world away from God. But this is the time when we need to be alert and be aware by the inspiration of the Spirit of truth to vow to not be deceived. Even as the world is deceiving, we ought to live our lives as true sons and shining the light of truth so that in that day we can truly be there. In that day, truth will be revealed and we will not regret it. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes and think. Ask the question. How much of your time is spent daily listening to the words that are true? How much of your effort and your passion is spent for the true dream? How much of your time is being spent chasing after false dreams of this world that will pass? what will pass is not true. What passes is not true. It is fake. It is deceitful. What is truth is something that will not pass, that will be forever. That is the word of truth, the word of the true God, Yeshua. His promises are true. And his promise, the last one, will be fulfilled one day very soon. Until then, we must endure. Endure and wait. Patiently wait for his word to be true. Even if the world mocks us and persecutes us in that day, attested because tested, we will be proven and confirmed that we are true sons of God in that day. Let's lift up our hands and seek his help. Help me to never be deceived. I will not be deceived. I will not deceive. Let me hear and do according to your word of truth, Yeshua.